the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Sister Natalie called and stated for the church, if you would please remember her in prayer. For her breathing, the tumor is pressing against her diaphragm, making breathing difficult for her. She also is unable to rest and sleep at night. Please pray for these needs. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Natalie, that the Lord would just be mindful of our sister. We appreciate her so very much, and just pray that God would help her and keep her. Since I would like for my brothers and sisters to remember me in prayer, I need healing in my body. Also have an unspoken prayer request. Thank you so much. Just commit that unto the Lord. Just pray that God would move on that behalf this morning. This is a testimony. Brother Dow sends this in for Cleta Yance. About a month ago, Cleta was taken to Nashville where the doctors removed a very large cancerous tumor. All that time she was told she would have to have several reconstructive surgeries, plus have to use a colostomy bag for the rest of her life. The day after the surgery, she was told they got all of the cancer, that she would not need the reconstructive surgery. And this week she was told that she would not need the colostomy bag, which the doctor said was a miracle in itself. She will be in Nashville for 2 more weeks for rehabilitation for the use of her leg. Thank you so much for your prayers. Somebody say praise the Lord. We just thank God for that this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is certainly mindful of all of our situations and all of our needs, and ever how His divine will is brought about in taking care of needs, we're at rest with that, aren't we? The will of the Lord is what we want for all of our lives. Is that right? If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, Brother Terry, come this morning. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's commit these things unto God. You invite His presence into this service today. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's all join our faith together this morning, bow our heads, and look to the Lord in behalf of these requests. Father, as we come to you this morning, we count it a great privilege to be here in the house of God. We don't say that because that's what we should say, but truly, I believe there's many that are here that say it's truly a privilege. We know perhaps one day it won't always be this way, but we want to take advantage of every service that we have in this freedom, knowing that our freedom is slowly being taken away from us and diminished. But Father, we're thankful that once again we can come and call upon thy name. We can worship you. We can look to you. We can learn more of your word. We can get better acquainted with you. After all, we plan to spend eternity with you. We want to know how our lovely bridegroom desires for us to live. We want to live a life worthy of the gospel. God, we're thankful that you put, in all men, you put a thirst for, to desire after you, a thirst to thirst after you. For all human beings, you put that in their soul, but not everybody has a desire to serve you. I'm thankful, God, you put a desire in our heart to thirst after you and to fulfill that thirst, not with the things of the world, but with the lovely Lord Jesus. That's the only one, the only thing, the only anything that can satisfy is the lovely Lord Jesus, married to the person of the Word of God, Christ. Lord, these requests, Sister Natalie, how many times we've prayed, and Lord, I know that the prayers have sustained her this long, I'm sure, but your will be done. Keep her, Lord, and heal her, and make her well. Lord, she's suffered beyond measure. We know, Lord, she's in your hands. We can't heal her ourselves. We would do it, but Lord, we know that you can, and you already have. And I pray, God, you would touch her. Lord, in each one that had a special request signified by a raised hand, that you would be with them. And Lord, my son and my wife going up to visit, be with Brad and his wife for a couple of weeks to be with them. They're on the road as we speak. Give them traveling mercies. And anoint our pastor to speak this morning. Lord, let him have a special anointing this morning to give us the spiritual food in due season. Lord, as we talk about perhaps Elijah's rapture, as we spoke last night, how wonderful the conditions, Lord, as it were, very similar today, Lord, knowing you're going to take a bride right out of this generation. What a paradox that'll be. Give us grace. Bless the service, Lord, the songs and the exhortation, all that's done and said. Lord, may it be a good time of worship in the house of the Lord this morning. Touch every need. These requests I have in my hand, make each one of them well. We'll give you praise. Be with Brother Jim Maxwell. Give him a complete restoration of health. And help him, dear Jesus, to be back in the house of God where he desires to be. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we want to welcome all of you here. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming the services today, may God richly bless those folks as well. A couple of announcements while we're receiving your offering this morning. Brother Warren Arendt and family here from Arkansas, they're visiting with us today. Where would you be? Would you just raise your hand right back here? Give those folks a nice hand this morning. Brother Daniel and Sister Linda Nunley, they're very proud to have their granddaughters, Tippia, Allison, Emily, and Marcy with us in the service this morning, all the way visiting here from Germany. Where would those young ladies be this morning? I don't know where they're at. Maybe right back here. Give those girls a nice hand this morning. So I believe that's all of our announcements. Let's sing a song this morning. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you going to help me sing? Well, I hope the rest of you enjoy our concert for you this morning. How many of you going to sing and worship the Lord with all your heart? You didn't come to watch. You come to be a participator. Right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say I promise you I'm awake. And I'm going to sing good. Greg, you just do the best you can. We'll all understand. Get up, get up. Get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who will be saved. Don't go down defeated, for victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who will be saved. Don't go down defeated, for victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. At the gate called Beautiful, or laid out in the street, the poor lonely beggar was crippled in his feet. John and Peter passed him, they saw his need was bad. But they gave him what they had. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who will be saved. Don't go down defeated, for victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
In which we live in, there's evil in. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. But God is needing soldiers to get out of those pews and to take a hold of the power that John and Peter knew.
Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated. Victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
The days in which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear.
Oh, yes.
But God is needing soldiers to get out of those pews and to take a hold of the power that John. Get up, get up, get up, church, get up, get up.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus this morning. It's Jesus that I really want to see. Just before we change the order of the service, have a couple of specials for you today. I believe you're going to enjoy. The children are going to sing. And Sister Lewis and maybe her daughter, they have a song for us. We'll work those songs in here just in a minute. But let's sing this chorus together. I love to see you folks here at church. But it's not really you that I come to see. It's the Lord speaking to us from His Word that we come to see. Is that right? Is that your desire and your motive to come to the house of the Lord? To be helped from the Word of God? To tell you all the little things and all the big things that's wrong in our lives? We need that, don't we? We need correction from the Word of the Lord. And I certainly appreciate. I appreciate a ministry that won't sugarcoat nothing for nobody. Nothing for nobody. The ground's level for every one of us. I appreciate that, don't you? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. If you love Him with all your heart. It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. You can be seated this morning. I don't know if the Sunday school has been dismissed or the children, Sister Ivy, where are you at? Are the children ready to sing for us this morning? Perhaps not. And Sister Lewis, your daughter is downstairs in Sunday school. Is that right? Well, don't look at you. All right. You'll be stubborn. I won't look at you. Let's just sing another song ourselves then. Is that all right with everybody? How many of you will help us sing one more song together? Let's sing, In the Morning When I Rise, Give Me Jesus. Amen. You know, that's the best and only way to start your day. Amen. Is with Jesus. Amen. It's the only way to start it. Amen. Let's sing it this morning. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Now let's say it. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Yeah.
just defeat you. I want you to sing it. Forgive me. Sing that chorus. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Lord, you can have all this world. Yes, you can have all this world. You can have all this world. Give these young people a nice hand this morning.
Sister Robin, you need this microphone. You need this microphone.
Just trying to get them to where they can be seen. I'm sorry. Yeah, just move over. Just bring the kids over here. Stretch them over. Can we put some of the little ones over here? While they're setting that up, I wasn't in here, so I don't know if anybody mentioned this, but we just got word that my daughter's namesake passed away this morning, Abigail Ruth's namesake, Bill's aunt Ruth, and she's taking it kind of hard. So if you all wouldn't mind praying for her, I'd appreciate it.
He was always there. strong. When it came to living life, I held on. But it all fell apart before flat on your back, and it is at that point you see you through God's eyes. You have been faithful and true, Jesus.
Amen. You appreciate her singing this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's stand if you will. Let's sing the little chorus as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord this morning. I am redeemed, bought with a price. You appreciate the fact you have been redeemed? Look at somebody and say, I am redeemed by the grace of Almighty God. Now let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise just before we sing this chorus. I am redeemed, bought with a price. Oh, if anybody asks you just who I am, oh, tell them I am redeemed. Oh, Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Oh, tell them I am redeemed. Oh, yes, I am redeemed.
Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you, I am, just tell them I am redeemed. Praise the Lord. And redeemed is to bring back from where it fell from. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, if you would, today. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. About 39 years ago today, about this time, I was probably just about getting off work. I was working at a motel cleaning rooms. And me and Carol was fixing to get married about an hour or so afterwards. So I was so happy. And that was just the beginning of my happiness. I've been so happy ever since. I just wanted to wish her a happy anniversary. And she has a birthday tomorrow, and I'd also like to wish her a happy birthday. I have the advantage on her since I'm up here and she's back there. Or she could tell you all, I also have a birthday tomorrow. So, God bless you. We certainly appreciate all your cards and all that. We thank you for it. Trust the Lord to give us many more years together. I've never asked Him for too much personally, but there's one thing I've asked Him. Lord, please don't never take her before I have to go. Let us go together. I know that's selfish, but I just love her so much, and I can't imagine living without her. If I feel that way about my wife, can you imagine how Jesus must feel about His? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. I'd like to speak to you again today about Elijah's rapture. Hopefully before the service is over, we'll get him gone out of here. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Now, as I mentioned to you last night, he does not have the ability to do this. Only God can give this. But if it's God's will for him to have it, then God will certainly allow the connections to be made possible. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Let's read also from the Laodicea Church Age. Elijah, after he gave his prophecy, Elijah did not have to die. He was translated, I love that, and was taken up into heaven. A type of the church at the end of this Elijah that will come. Now remember what, look at the title of the sermon, Laodicean Church Age. So he's fixing to give us the description of the church age messenger. So he's describing Elijah. The church will go home, he says, a type of the church at the end of this Elijah that will come. At the end of his time, not when he was here, but at the end of his time, the church will go in the rapture without going through the shadows of death. It'll be in the rapture. I believe the great Elijah, the great one that's to come, will be the anointed Elijah that's prophesied of the last day. I think he will be when he comes, the angel or the messenger to the church in the last days. Brother William Ryerson sent me last Saturday night or Sunday one a link on YouTube, and it was of Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn was talking about how that very few men are able to get up into what he called the third dimension and able to retain their senses, that most people, when they get up there, they basically go nuts. So he was talking about John Alexander Dowie, that he was carried up into the third dimension and he thought that he was Elijah. Then he talked about Brother Branham. And he gave different examples about Brother Branham calling people out and telling them their names and where they lived and different things like that. And he said Brother Branham was so gifted and so called of God. And he also got up into what he called the third dimension. And Brother Branham also thought he was Elijah. Of course, Benny was going to go up into the third dimension and maintain his henship, I guess. And I thought it amazing that Satan sends forth these scarecrows. And then when Brother Branham says he's Elijah, oh yeah, done another one of them. Here we go again. But I thought as I listened to him and all those hundreds and thousands of people sitting there screaming and squalling and carrying on, I thought, you blind leader of the blind. Talking and describing how great Brother Branham was. And then, you know, basically Brother Branham went off the deep end. And I thought, well, it's true to form that where they consider he went off is when we consider the great change in the message. of God opening up the Word. Aren't we blessed to be able to see that? Amen. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today, Lord Jesus, for your truth. And we thank you, Lord. Even the people out there cannot deny that there has never been a man on the earth that was so gifted with such a ministry. But then, Lord, they stumble either here, there, somewhere else. They just can't follow through and see. But we're so grateful today that we believe that you have once again sent to us the message, the anointing, the ministry of Elijah to turn our hearts back to the faith. He did not come to build a college. He did not come for they'd name a bridge after him or a highway or a beltway around the Capitol. He come that he might lead people closer to Jesus Christ. There's no college built in his memorial. There's no great city named after him. But Lord Jesus, what he has given to us, oh, it'll change us and we will be changed forever because he was willing. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord, we pray that you'd help us today as we endeavor to bring these things, that you'd anoint me, but also anoint them, that we can be benefited by our gathering together. We've not come here to see one another today. We've not come, Lord Jesus, just to have a protracted meeting. But we've come that we might hear from heaven. And if that is done, it'll take heaven to speak. So may heaven speak in our midst today. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we go to Elijah, let me just give you the setting of what is fixing to transpire to the elect. This is found in Christ revealing his own word. You see these little pockets going through the air they call saucers. You see these little pockets going through the air they call saucers. And so forth. People, well, we better leave that alone. But you hear all these people come up missing. And you say you don't hear from them. They're standing there and they're not there. That's the way the rapture is going to be. Now listen to this. One of them will drop right down. And this terrestrial body will take on a celestial body. Amen. And there'll be hide, hair, nor bones left. It'll be transformed in a moment of time. Dropping right out of space and taking home that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Listen at that. Dropping right out of space. Dropping right out of space and taking home that. We'll see all this going on now. The Pentagon wondering about these lights and mystic lights and everything they're seeing in the sky. You've seen, they had one in the paper in Jeffersonville just this week and so forth. A mystic light. So they don't know what that is. But listen to this. But listen, little children. It's going to pick you up one of these days. See? See? Don't worry. Praise the Lord. Don't worry. Oh, hallelujah. Saucers. Mystic lights. I've always felt a little mystic myself. You realize that to the world this would seem, you know, it would seem crazy. It would seem nonsense, absolute absurd. But to us that believe, it is not nonsense at all to us. We believe it'll happen that way. Now, you know, to Elijah, it had been revealed that he was going to leave this world, not because he was worthy, not because that he had been, as we would say, 100% faithful to the call or to the ministry. He was a man that was a very moody individual, fault the situation of a temper, fought running from responsibility, fought instead of facing the opposition, going the easier way sometimes. He was a man that was a man that his first conscience and subconscious was so close together that he could stand as I'm standing right now and look at you, and his consciences would merge in a moment, and he would be standing there with his eyes wide open. But because he was born this way, his subconscious and first conscience could transcend and merge together, and he could break into the realm of vision and never shut his eyes. He was made to where he could be able to catch the very thoughts of God and the mind of God and say things that was phenomenal. But in the same sense, he was made when he would come down from that, he wanted to die. He wanted to go and land on a juniper tree and didn't care if he ever woke up again. So he was a man of extreme. He was a man who lived in extreme worlds, a man who was able to contact both worlds, the world of reality and the world of phenomenal, the world of supernatural. And whenever he would come back from between those two worlds, he must have been a very mystical type of individual. He must have taught very different. He must have lived and thought and moved very different to most of the common people. Now, in one sense, you can see why that he would think he was the only one left. Because in reality, in one sense of the word, he was the only one at that time frame that was able to transcend the realm of mortality and be able to walk in the presence of God where very few people have ever been. Let's face it. You and I have never been there. We've never walked where these prophets were allowed to walk. So in that sense, you can see that they would come into that realm and say, there ain't nobody left. There's nobody absolutely that can move into that type of a world. Yet in reality, there was another. Now, you know, God doesn't want any of us to think that we're not replaceable. Whenever we get to a mindset, whether you are a preacher, whether you are a deacon, whether you run the sound system or a Sunday school teacher or an organ player or a piano player, every one of us can be replaced. If something happens to me and God takes me or God moves me somewhere else, God will have another man that will come and take this church. Donnie Reagan is replaceable. And every one of you are replaceable. And when we get to the mindset that we think the program of God cannot work without us, any person at this church, hey, I love all of you, but Brother Jim, you are replaceable. Every man here, you brothers in the sound room, you are replaceable. Every one of you can be replaced. Every preacher can be replaced. Now, Elijah is set in this mindset before God is able to call him to the mouth of the cave, that without him, the whole program of God is going to fold up. Oh, no, it's not. God has a threefold manner by which he will execute divine judgment on the rebellious people. Now, Elijah thinks that through Carmel, through all these great things transpiring, that God will use him to do it. That was not the plan of God. God was not going to use Elijah to be able to turn the whole thing around, but God did have a threefold manner by which he would move on the elect, and he would punish those who would not be changed. One was he would move upon the king of Syria, he would move upon Jehu, and then in the spiritual aspect, he would move upon Elisha. So Elijah, even though he's a great man and no one would ever actually take his place, but yet God's program would go right on, and as a matter of fact, it would accomplish something through these men that actually would not be accomplished in Elijah. Praise the Lord. Now, when we get to thinking that, oh, the whole church, it can't run without me. I'll tell you one thing, if I leave, it will, if you left, we would go right on. I don't want to offend you and I want to hurt your feelings, but I lived a perfectly normal human life before I ever came to Johnson City. Believe it or not, I lived as a matter of fact, it was a lot less stressful. I lived a perfectly, I mean, I was not some kind of weird, strange guy because I was a hillbilly down in Kentucky. It wasn't like I just got saved once I arrived in Johnson City. It wasn't like I got the Holy Ghost once I got in Johnson City. I mean, I already had it before I got here. I better have it before I come here. But you realize when people get that in their mind that the whole thing, oh, if I leave, and then they will go to using that as leverage against the body or against the people that they're worshiping with, and they'll hold that over them, friend. Whenever you do that, you've got the wrong frame of mind.
Now preachers will do it, and that's why they think they're indispensable. The church cannot operate without me, and then they go to live in ungodly lives and everything else because they think the church can operate without them. Well, it just shows how much you know. The church will go right on. God has a bride, and God will do what he wants to accomplish with that, with or without you and me. Now, it's not so much, will it go on without me? The thing of it is, will you go with it? That's what's going to be. Because the move of God is on, and nobody is going to stop it. But the thing is, will you and I go with the move of God, or will we be left behind? So here God must now change Elijah's mindset before he can further lead him into the phase of this ministry. Now he has something else that he must do before his journey is finished. But remember that Elijah was going to complete his work, and God told him, as we looked at it last night, to go and anoint Hazael, which he did not do. God told him to go and anoint Jehu, which he did not do. But God told him to anoint Elisha, and he did do. Now, whether he felt like he had enough time, there's plenty of time to do it, we really don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us why he did not do it, but yet God told him to, and he did not do it. And you think, well, you know, God looking at it, didn't God know it? Sure, God knew it. And you mean God's going to let him go on the rapture, even though he had not done it? He sure is, because he's ordained to be in that rapture. Now, is there an explanation that the Bible doesn't say? There possibly could be. I really don't know why he didn't do it. But all I know is God told him, and he didn't. But yet God was so determined it would be done. God seen it was done. So if you don't want to do it, God's called you to do a certain thing and be a part of this body. If you don't want to do it, that's perfectly fine. God will get someone else to do it, and they will get your blessing, and we will move on without you. If Donnie Reagan don't want to preach the truth, then Happy Valley should vote Donnie Reagan out, and Happy Valley will vote somebody else in, and Happy Valley will move on, and Donnie Reagan will be left sitting twiddling his thumbs. And the church said, if our deacons don't want to go on, or Brother Louie don't want to go on, we'll get us another song leader. If my Brother Harry don't want to go on, Brother Larry don't want to go on, any of the rest of you folks don't want to go on, we will move on without you. Because our goal isn't you, our motive isn't you, our goal isn't Donnie Reagan, it isn't Dale Orndorff, it is Jesus Christ. So God must adjust Elijah's view and opinion. The work of God will go on. Now notice when God reveals this to him then, that there's more to be done. Notice what this must do to him. It helps him to see. It releases him from this bondage of what is commonly called King of the Mountain Syndrome. Preachers get it. Many people get it. They feel like that they cannot work without them. So in this mentality, they've got to go. And if free of God, you know, if God cannot slow a man down, then what Satan will try to do is get the man in this concept. They need me so much. They need me so much. Oh, they can't function without me. And you realize what it does. Satan turns it in to an overworking scheme on this man. Evangelists can get it. Pastors can get it. Oh, everybody's calling me. Everybody's calling me. Everybody's calling me. That may not always be God. It could be the devil that's moving it around to where you slap out where you ain't good for nothing. I wish somebody had preached with me this morning. But you realize the program of God will work without you. But if I'm ordained to be a part of it, I'd rather it work with me. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I don't want you folks to go without me. If that's the way you feel. I don't want this church to go on without me and leave me sitting here. I want to move with you all. I want to live in eternity with you all. I want to be a part of what God's doing. And as long as I keep that mindset, you ain't leaving without me. Now, if I get another mindset, then you will leave without me. That's right. So God must change him now in order for him to see the way that it's going to be. Now, if you notice here in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, the word of the Lord, it's amazing how this rapture will now consummate, because there's several different categories and groups of people that actually this is revealed to, whether by divine revelation or whether by word from Elijah, we really don't know. told, but yet the schools of the prophets, they also knew that Elijah was going to be taken up, and Elisha also knew it as well. Unlike the secret rapture of the bride in the end time, this rapture was publicly known months, weeks, who knows how long, before it actually ever took place. So they are knowing now that Elijah is going to be taken away. And notice what the scripture says, that God would take him by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. Now put yourself in this man's spot. Here is a vindicated prophet of God that is telling you to stay. Are you going to? You mean to tell me you are going to directly disobey what this prophet tells you to do? When this prophet of God tells you, stay here, I'm going over there. And you turn and tell him, I am not. I'm staying with you. Now, without an understanding, you are going to look defiant, rebellious, stubborn, and hard-headed. And you're going to look like you're breaking the word of the Lord. But this man has a revelation. Glory. Now remember, the promise has not been made to him yet. You got to watch me when I go. It's not even been made yet. This is before the promise is ever given. You've got to see me. What is it about this that this man wants to stay around him? What is it about it? Notice this. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. It looked like an absolute defiance to what that prophet told him. He must have somehow known the divine revelation. He's being tested. Watch this, how Brother Branham runs a parallel on this. He said, now notice how Christians assume as they become anointed. Now he's telling the story of Elijah and Elisha, how they become tempted sometimes. But Elisha was a prophet, and Elijah said, you tarry here, the Lord's called me to Gilgal. And he said, but as the Lord liveth and your soul liveth, I'll not leave you. He said, I like that. Going to stay right with him. He started, now he's going through. Notice he went on, and then he went with him to the city, and he said, the Lord sent me up to the school of the prophets. And he said, the Lord sent me up there. Oh my. You wait here. As the Lord liveth and your soul liveth, I will not leave you. On he goes to the school of the prophets. Second stage of the journey. What? Oh my. If you're a type, they had to follow incorrectly with the plan of Christ and the church in this age. The second stage of the journey, they came to the educational, more spiritual group than they had at Gilgal. The prophets, the school of the prophets, the educated. Uh-oh. Although I never did think there was much prophets about them. One went out one day to get some peas and got some wild gourds. If a fella didn't know the difference between peas and wild gourds, I don't know. That's about the way that some of these schools of the prophets get today, don't you think so? Listen to this. Can't discern the difference between spiritual things and spiritualist things. Spiritual things and spiritualist things. Now watch. God has something in his mind. Now the rapture is not for Elisha. The rapture is not for the prophets. Now remember, we're running a parallel of two types. And you have to be careful when you're running a parallel of two types, because they cross over and you get your story messed up. So the story here that we're focusing on as far as Elijah and the rapture. But remember, there's also the parallel of Elijah and Elisha, which is Christ and the bride. So be careful with your types. But the focus that we're looking on this morning is Elijah's rapture was for Elijah only. It was not for the school of the prophets. It was not for Elisha, but it was for Elijah. And here he's led up to this great transforming time, and he's having such difficulty. He's having such battle, such toil, such labor right before his rapture. He's a perfect parallel of the bride and, of course, of Christ before Christ takes his rapture. Now, what's this? And the sons of the prophets were at Bethel. Now you watch how this happened, 2 Kings 2, verse 1. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Now here it is revealed to these sons of the prophets, whether by divine revelation or whether Elijah had already come through and told them and it's already made known now he's fixing to go home. And they actually know the day. Now remember, it wasn't just a few weeks before this, Elijah was saying he's the only one. Well, glory. Nobody left but me. Nobody left. And you know, these guys know he's going in a rapture. And he thought there wasn't nobody left but him. Now, this great parallel. Watch it out. Brother Ben brings it again. He said, then he went from the school of the prophets. And he said, you stay here now. The Lord's called me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord liveth and your soul liveth, I will not leave you. Now, if you'll notice, after he laid his mantle upon him, just threw it on him in the field. And he said, follow him. It was a blessing that Christ gave the church. Now, he's going to run the parallel here between these types. He got a dual parable, a dual parable. Just take this side of it for tonight. But notice them stages where he went is the stages of the journey. When the church come from the dark age, out of the dark age, the first stage of the journey was Luther, Gilgal. The second stage was the Methodist age, John Wesley's age, the Methodist church. The second great reformation as it was. Now watch how they parallel the three stages, Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah said unto him, verse 4, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Now from Gilgal, he comes on down to the next stage, and now he comes and says, the Lord sent me to Jericho. You stay here. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. So hear this prophet now. Is teaching to this student of his the obedience to the word. He's teaching him that when God reveals something to you and makes it known to you, there should be nobody that's able to talk you out of it. Now, remember Elisha's background was quite different from that of Elijah. Elisha was what is called the Tishbite. But Elisha, rather, was one of a very rich background, really. He was a farmer. And whenever Elijah actually comes through the field where Elisha is plowing, he is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. So this is 24 oxen. Now, the way they would do, they would take a yoke of oxen and hitch a plow. Another yoke and a plow. Another yoke and a plow. This is before John Deere, of course. So he's got these mega plows out on this field. Can you imagine this man, one man, plowing with 24 oxen? Got all these straps, you know, from the oxen, and got all these over his shoulder, and speaking to them all, and telling them all, and the Spirit of God sends him right down there by him. Oh, glory. The prophet said, I imagine he knew how to plow a straight row. You imagine that old boy at the end of the day plowing with 24 oxen, him warp slap out. He was a rich man. Now, he was a rich, wealthy farmer. To have 24 oxen in that day, it would have been a man of great esteem. But the Spirit of God comes by, and Elijah just walking through there, and he pulls his mantle off, just hits him on the shoulder, and keeps right on walking. He said, wait a minute. Let me go sell my oxen. Let me do this. He said, what have I got to do with you? So now look, it was a revelation from the very moment that he crossed the path of Elijah that his life would never be the same. Now he did not reserve something for in case this don't work out. He didn't save any of his Baptist theology that he could always go back to. He didn't save any of his Baptist ties or his Methodist ties or his Pentecostal ties with this church or that church or that church in case the message didn't work out so he could always go back there and preach back there. But I mean, what the man done was he killed all of his oxen. He busted up all of his plows and everything that he had. So he had nowhere to go back to. Oh, glory. I'm afraid a lot of message folks didn't do that when they embraced the message. They kept, you know, some of the women kept a little bit of mascara back in the medicine cabinet. They kept a little bit of their country music hid over here and a little bit of the television over there and a little bit of something else over somewhere else, just in case it didn't work out. It more than likely won't work out for you because you're not sold out with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. But can you imagine what a sacrifice this was? Now, he gathers in all of the people around him in the neighborhood, and he has this gigantic feast, and he feeds everybody. Sounds like a real prophet of God to me. Of course, he wasn't charging by the plate nor charging by the bowl, but he was just giving it out to them, burning everything that he had, and he took off after Elijah. Now, do you think that this man with this kind of determination is going to let Elijah tell him, you stay here, I'm going there? He says, if the message goes from the first pull to the second, I'm going with it. And, amen. And if the message goes from the second to the third, I'm going with it. And when the third pull goes to the body change, I'm going with that too. I ain't staying here in the first pull. I ain't staying in the second pull. I ain't staying here in this earth. I'm going with you. Glory! I'm going with you. Verse 5 again, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho said to Elisha, knowest thou the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. He didn't want to be distracted by the sons of the prophets, lest Elijah be taken while he's conversing. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Now watch. Brother Brim says, when he went down to Jordan, time come to cross over. He made the way. Then when he crossed over the stage of the Holy Ghost church, now I want to ask you something. What do you want? He said, a double portion of your spirit. Now remember, this promise had not been given until Elijah crosses Jordan. So when Elijah Christ crosses Jordan, then the promise is made to the church. Glory! Glory! It was not made at Gilgal. It was not made at Jericho. It was made once Christ, Elijah, crossed Jordan. Now notice he said, a double portion of your spirit come upon me. That's the way to ask. Don't be scared. Ask for the whole lot. Oh, praise the Lord. Ask for the whole lot. You have not because you believe. Because you ask not, he said. You ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Ask a whole lot. God, don't make me a little bit better. Make me all the way well. If you're sick today, don't ask for a touch. Ask for a miracle. If you're sick, don't ask to feel a little bit better. Say, God, I want to be completely made well. Why not? It's already bought and paid for. It's already yours. Why should not I enjoy the full benefits of my policy? My brother Ben said, don't let me have enough religion to make myself miserable. Kill me out to sin that I can live in Christ. I don't want just enough of the message to come and sit in the church and be meaner than the devil himself. As grouchy as, I don't know, Wolverine. Oh, mine just got an attitude like a bobcat on steroids and sitting there mad as everybody, you know, mean as the devil. I want to be so filled with the Holy Ghost, it's oozing out of me when I go to Lowe's. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost, it oozes out of me no matter where I go. Don't you, church? Why should I get just enough to make me miserable? Well, not enough to make me like Christ. Listen to this. Don't make me so I can step back to maybe bow my head once in a while. Make me so I can shout. Well, you won't hear message folks quoting this one. Make me so I can open my mouth and sing. Don't you stop there, you Baptist. That three-letter word is and, A-N-D, which I was taught when I went to school, is a conjunction which joins the former phrase with the latter. Amen. All we message folks can, yes, sir, buddy, we love to sing. But he said, open up my mouth and sing and scream. praises to God. Give me the whole thing. Let me have the baptism. Kill me to the things of the world. Where people around me, when I go to church, let me worship you. He said, that's right. No matter what anybody else thinks, just kill me out. That's what we need, is a Jordan experience. Amen. Is that right? Many of us like the school of the prophets. We stand over on the other side of the hill looking off. Let's cross the river tonight. Do you realize this stage is in the message? Did you ever notice what the school of the prophets did? Let me read to you. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. And they too, Elijah and Elisha, Jesus and the bride, stood by Jordan. Now here are folks that are following the message. They're following the message. They're following this man. But where do they follow it? Afar off. So they stood way over on the hill and they're watching. Man, oh, reckon what's happening today. Oh, my, reckon what? Reckon they ain't no telling what he'll do today. There ain't no telling how he'll carry on. Oh, my Lord. There ain't no telling. You know, we've got Pentecostals in our church and we got some Baptists and then we got me, the perfect church member. I wish everybody could be like me. I don't. There ain't none of you here that's example for everybody else, including me. I'm not your example. Don't worship like me. Don't worship like Sister Janet. Don't worship like Brother Terry. Worship the way God wants you to worship. If he wants you to cry, cry. If he wants you to shout, shout. If he wants you to jump, jump. What we have today, my friend, is a whole message full of sons of the prophets. Sons of the prophet. The Malachi 4 prophet. They sit back. They're scholars. I think you ought to preach this way. I think you ought to do that. And then you ask them, have you ever preached? No, but I think. So you've never preached. And you're going to tell me how. I'll tell you one thing. I think Brother Louis ought to lead the singing. Have you ever led the singing here? Well, y'all was preaching with me. Now you're mad. Oh, my. Notice this. He said, that's what we need tonight is a Jordan experience. Is that right? Many of us, like the school of the prophets, stand on the other side of the hill looking off. Let's cross the river and say, well, Miss So-and-so got healed. She had cancer. Mr. So-and-so was in a wheelchair. He walked. But he said, what about you? Let's cross over tonight. But now there is a group of people now that's following Elijah's ministry. 50 of the men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. But these two stood by Jordan. Now Jordan, of course, is a long river. I've stood at Jordan. Many of you have that's been to Israel. So depending on where you would stand would depend on what you would see. But where they are standing, let's just go there today. Jordan with its green lush grasses, its aquatic water plants, the topsoil that is washed down from the upper northern part of the land of Israel. Very beautiful, fertile valley. Where plants can grow. But there's a school over there, the message. Message theologians. Amen. Now you're not going to find them down there wallowing in Jordan. They don't want to get their suit dirty. They will praise God in a more sophisticated manner. They tell me when the flag is half-mast, it means somebody's dead. So when you're worshiping half-mast, does that mean you're dead? I know God ain't. You ever find in the Bible where the Bible associates whispers with worship? How come we don't sing the song, whisper to the Lord, da, 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 da. How come we sing, shout to the Lord, Yeah. I see right now some of y'all done go to that school of prophets. Now before Elisha can move into that last stage of being trimmed to wear the mantle, he and Elijah's got to cross together. Before Elijah can be changed, he's got to cross the final stage of his journey, Jordan. Now Elijah knows it, Elisha knows it, the prophets of Jordan know it, all these other people, they know it. But can you imagine, these people are this close to watching a man in a body change, and instead of getting right up where they can see it, they stand way off. So here they come down to Jordan, depending on where you would go to Jordan. Jordan is narrow in certain places, wide and rough in others, because it comes from the northern hill country. So it moves very rapid in certain places with shoals or streams, you know, that come together, and it moves very rapidly. But here, they must cross in a particular place. As a matter of fact, it'll be the same plain that Moses crossed on his way to Pisgah to die. So the Spirit of God leads Elijah, and here he goes. This is very hot country. Temperature is always high. I imagine he got so sick of every time he had moved, this guy bumping into him. Would you please back off? They're going to think something funny about us. Elijah moved. Oh, dear God. You know what? You're becoming something of a pest. When he would turn over in the night. Can a man not even have a decent night's sleep without your nose being in mine? Imagine Elijah would be tired 10:30, 11. He'd lay down. Elisha was still keeping the fire. Elisha would roll over 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. There he was. All bug-eyed. You ain't leaving me. I can say when Elisha goes to sleep, he takes a string, goes over and ties it to his arm, ties it to his. If you was that determined about God, Brother Jim, if we was that determined about God, we'd sit here today and we'd not worry about us being Pharaoh. We'd not worry about us being Judas. We'd not worry about us being lost. They say, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. When Jesus turns over, my nose is right against his. Oh, hallelujah! When Jesus makes one step, I bump right into him. Hallelujah! Elisha knows this rapture is not for him. He knows that. He knows it's not for him. But he does know something is for him. I wonder how many of you today, if God showed you wasn't bride, you'd even come back. How many of you, if God showed you was not bride, you'd turn away and never even come toward a church door again? It shows you're not even worthy for the kingdom of God. Brother, if you loved him and you recognize your sinful ways and how unworthy you are, if you're a foolish virgin, whatever you are, you'd say, God, I don't even deserve that. But if you'll offer it to me, I'll take it. Elisha knew the rapture wasn't for him, but did it sway him from his determination? Absolutely not. In one way, he seemed more determined than Elijah did. His faithfulness and all that to the cause. So here they step up to Jordan. The Bible says in verse 8, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters that were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, now the time is released. The seal is now broken. The mystery of Elijah's life will now open into the mystery of Elisha's life. He's wondered. He's pondered. What am I to do? What am I to have? What ability? What capability? What will I get? He doesn't know until the seal of Jordan is broke. And once they breach the seal and they go across on the other side, then the revelation is made known to Elisha. Ask what I can do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Do you understand what this man is asking? This man knows there are many sons of the prophets. But he actually looks at himself as being the firstborn of Elijah. Don't you see what he's doing? He's asking for the firstborn's inheritance. He knows there's many sons of the prophets, but he looks at himself as being separate from that. He don't fit in that category. I hope they're hearing me today. He does not look at himself, well, I go to church. I believe Malachi 4. I'm a message believer. On and on and on and on with the rhetoric. He said, I do not look at myself as that. I consider myself of the firstborn. I have been born by the word of this prophet of God. I'm not just a follower. I'm not just someone that submits. I've been born again by the word of Malachi 4. Friends, he isn't asking for double miracles. He isn't asking for double power. He isn't asking just so I can be a big shot. He wants a double portion of his inheritance. He considers himself the only child of Elijah. I am your firstborn. Don't you understand, in every church age, there was people who could say that same thing to the Lord Jesus. We're not the seventh generation Christians of a thousand year millennia. We are not seventh generation great, 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 great grandchildren. But may I say to him today, and may you, I am your firstborn. Oh, glory. I can stand right beside Peter and Paul and James and John and all the rest of them. I'm not a great, 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 great grandchild. I am a son. I am a son. I have a right to the firstborn inheritance. He doesn't just want miracles. He wants fortitude. He wants strength. He wants all these things. I want what you are. I want my inheritance. The firstborn's right. You see, it was in Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 17 that Moses says that the firstborn shall have the right of two portions. Elisha looks up on the hill and he sees him over there. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. Hallelujah. Come through Jericho. Prophet's got to come back. Prophet's got to come back. Come through Gilgal. Come through all that. But once the seal was broke, and he come on the other side of Jordan, glory to God, he was able to look at him and say, I don't belong to that school. I don't belong to that clique in the message, or that one, or that one. But I'll tell you where I belong. I'm your firstborn. I've been born by what you've done. I've been born by what you brought. Friend, where would we be today if it was not for this message of Malachi 4? Let people criticize it. Let them make fun of it. Let people in the message even turn away from it because they don't believe it no longer. That's up to them. But I am a firstborn son of this word, and I do not stand here today in shame and say it. I say it with honor and respect to my God. Do you understand sons of the prophets are no more than just simple disciples or followers
of a proclamated truce. They don't even understand what it's all about. But Elisha, by revelation, stands there and says, I want my portion. Don't you think this is kind of a bold move for a man to ask? I want the firstborn's right. Can you imagine? It must have set Elijah back. Said, boy, this boy's ready. I mean, he's ready. My rapture is at hand. Yes, sir, I have succeeded by the grace of God. I might not have turned their hearts, but I have his. Glory to God, I have succeeded all. Brother Branham, if you're looking over the banister this morning, let me tell you, my brother, your message was not a waste. You have succeeded. Around the world it has gone. Of firstborn children by this word. Glory to God, hallelujah. I want my right as a firstborn son of this word. Then miracles is my right. Healing is my right. A new birth is my right. The supernatural is mine. Brother Bram said, can you imagine Elisha keeping his eyes off of Elijah? That's what our trouble today with the church. We got too many people that's got the promise. You shall receive the Holy Ghost, but they keep one eye on the world and the other one on God. You're sure to fall. Take your eyes off of one or the other. Come on, take your eyes off of one or the other. Oh my. I advise you to take your eyes off the world, off your neighbor, off your association, and keep your eyes single with Christ. As he went forth from place to place and finally come to Jordan, and when they crossed over, he said, what will you that I do? He said, a double portion of your spirit come upon me. Oh, the trouble today. We got too many spiritual cross-eyed children. I always felt sorry for cross-eyed people, naturally. You understand what I'm saying? When you look at them and you think, Lord, poor things. I'll never forget down south many years ago before I ever come to the message. That was before I was taught that God didn't do supernatural. A little boy come up for prayer. He was so pitiful. He had one eye that looked straight like this and the other one looked this way. Laying right on his nose. I was ignorant, dumb, and stupid. But I knew that God said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And something come over me as I saw that poor little boy. And his eyes so crossed that he couldn't even hardly look at you. I laid my hands on him and prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And when I took my hands off, that boy's eye straightened right out. That was truly a miracle. But you know what? I've seen greater miracles than that. Because I've seen God by his word. Take many of you that were spiritually cross-eyed. And one eye was looking this way and the other looking that way. And I've seen God by his word. Take his word and straighten your eyes out. To where your eyes can focus not on me, not on this church, but on Jesus. Where you can see where you're going. You can see how to walk. You know which way to go. Don't you thank God for that? Don't you thank God that you're no longer spiritually cross-eyed? That you can look at one goal, one motive, one objective, and that's Jesus Christ, the Word. Oh, the trouble today, we've got too many spiritual cross-eyed children, church members. And let me just tell you, in case you're wondering, I still believe God can straighten out cross eyes physically. Because I'm still dumb enough and stupid enough, if you want to call me that, to believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You call it whatever you want. Oh, God ain't doing that no more. Well, maybe not in the camp where you are, but in our camp, Jehovah is here. In our camp, the supernatural is still here. In our camp, folks are still getting the Holy Ghost. In our camp, we have the firstborn right. Notice what makes spiritual cross-eyed children. Brother Brown said the trouble today was we've got too many spiritual cross-eyed children, church members, with one eye on the world and one on Calvary. What a terrible condition. Now, can you imagine there's something in them and about them? They don't want to forget Calvary. They don't want to turn from Calvary. But this, they can't go all the way because one eye is still over here and one over there. Oh, God, help us. Brother Bam said, you'll stumble as sure as the world. Let your eyes be set straight on Calvary and look close. Can you imagine Elisha taking his eyes off of Elijah? Certainly not. He kept his eyes right on him like that. If you see me when I go, you'll get what you asked for. He watched him. Amen. Then he said, thou hast asked a hard thing nevertheless. If thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, a flying saucer appeared out of heaven. Of course, you know, saucers are only coming for cups. And if yours is empty, you don't get to ride. We want to be a set after all, don't we? Now, they call them UFOs. We call them IFTs. They call them unidentified flying objects. We call them identified flying theophanies. Glory! It's the saucer, and I'm the cup. And guess what? We're both going up. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! He's coming looking for full cups that he can take and set down on the master's table. So you imagine Elisha saying, now I know why I felt this way for so long. To watch him. I didn't even know why. Now I know why. My predestinated destiny was already pulling out of me, and I didn't even know it was my destiny. It wasn't like he had to start doing something he wasn't already doing. He just done it more intently. And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. Now just imagine, you're walking along, Elijah and Elisha. And all of a sudden, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, a chariot said, and parts you away from Elijah. It would take real focus, real concentration, to not look at that chariot of fire. No doubt he had never seen one before. He had never seen horses like this before. That wasn't what he used to watch. He used to keep his eyes on that prophet. A chariot of fire and horses of fire parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind. Not a chariot of fire. By a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. As I mentioned to you last night, some of you probably didn't sleep a wink trying to figure out what in the world was he getting at. What a strange thing for Elisha to call Elijah a chariot. Oh, you've always thought in reading that he was talking about his way up, didn't you? Oh, you were wrong. This is what he's calling Elijah. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Oh, you said, no, Brother Donnie, it's because of the way he was going up. Really? Well, when Elisha is laying on his deathbed in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he had died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Now you see it. Notice
Jesus, he's not going to go by no charity. He's going by the way of the grave. He's not addressing the way he's going. He's addressing his position. God help me to stay on the earth by the law of gravitation for the next 5 minutes. Do you understand their revelation of the importance of a prophet of God? That a prophet of God among them was of more value than an entire army of a nation. That a prophet of God had such power before the Lord in prayer and his position that they considered him of more force than the whole national army. Oh, hallelujah! Elisha's going by the way of the grave, and this king addresses him as the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Notice this. Oh my. The Chaldee translate these words in this way. My master, who by thy intercession was of more use to Israel than horses and chariots. The Targum of Jonathan, he was better to Israel by his prayers than chariots and horsemen. Don't you understand? The chariot of fire and the horses of fire was Elijah's spiritual representation. Not his ticket. The whirlwind was his ticket back. The chariot of fire and the horses of fire was him. Don't you understand? Something came down in his rapture that represented him. Don't you understand? Something is coming down in your rapture that represents you. What is it? Your representation. Hallelujah. That came from heaven, but it was Elijah and symbol. Praise the Lord. Therefore, if you've died and entered the theophany, you bring the theophany to the earth. And if you're there in the theophany, what happens? That theophany comes to the earth to meet you in the redeemed body. Praise the Lord. So when they're walking down the road, here comes Elijah. After Elijah. So the chariot of fire and the horses of fire, they come and they... What was it? His representation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Elisha knows him. And he says, oh, that's him. That's him. And he had his eyes on him. Them. Him, them. Now I ask you, where did the chariot go? And where did the horses go? It divided them. The Bible doesn't say he rode the horses back, nor the chariot. The chariot and the horses, of course, went back in the whirlwind. When my theophany comes to the earth at the resurrection and the rapture, it will come to this earth. Oh, glory. And I will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And my chariot will go in my body. My theophany will go in my body. It came down separate, but we will leave together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It came down from the heavens, my representation. But when it comes down, what's it doing, Brother West? It's looking for me on the earth. It's honing in on me. Oh, hallelujah. There'll be millions of theophanies, millions of those saucers landing down, and they're looking. What are they looking for? They're looking for these space travelers that can move, travel faster in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And they won't come down looking for you. It will drop down out of space. It will carry home that. God won't leave behind hair nor home nor bones or nothing else. You'll be changed and you won't be lost in space. You'll be found in eternity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Whew. And he's gone. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye.
let's stand. Oh, may it be said about me one day, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, the army of God. Remember when Jacob was alone praying, God made known to him a great revelation. He called the name of that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim. The camp of the two hosts. The earthly host and the heavenly host had now united. Mahanaim. You see, once his revelation opens further to him and he makes an altar and he worships there and he calls it El Elohi Israel. It's kind of bold, isn't it? Calling the house of God after your name. El Elohi Israel. God, the God of Israel. And there standing Israel at the altar. One day the army of God will come for the army of God. And it will come and divide and separate you from mortality. Lord of mercy. You see, the full mystery of God is actually unfolded in the shadows of the man of Genesis 1, the man of Genesis 2, and the man of Genesis 3. The man of Genesis 1 was embodied in the animal body of the man of Genesis 2. And the man of Genesis 3 would come to redeem that man of Genesis 2. For he will bruise the serpent's head. He, the man of Genesis 3. Praise God. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now remember, this is a symbol, of course, of lamenting in these countries. But why so severely? They never rent them in two pieces. They would simply rend them. Why is he destroying his old garment? He no longer needs it. Elijah has left him his mantle. And the work will be continued on through the ministry of Elisha. And when he gets ready to die, the scripture I just read to you was the king who come and knelt down at Elisha's bed. And the same thing will be said about him. The amen of Elijah was the amen of Elisha. And the amen of the Lord Jesus, the resurrection, the changed body, is the amen for the bride. What is your amen? It's not you saying it. It's him giving you a new body. That's your amen. So be it. So be it. So be it. So be it. You said you're a Christian. You said you believe God. And God will amen your life with a new body. So be it. So be it. Lord Jesus, thank you today for your precious, wonderful word. Lord God, I don't know by knowledge that I'm going in the rapture. I don't know that I'm bride. I believe I am. But Father, I know this. even if I'm not right. I love you so much. And if my allotment is outside the city, if I live so far from the city, I'm the furthest one out. But if I just get to be there, if I get to come up on the Sabbaths and the new moon and see you and the Queen, that'll be more than I deserve. But Lord, somehow I can't keep from believing that I'm part of that number. Hallelujah. And one day the fire, my fire, will come down out of heaven and unite with this lick of fire that I've already got. Elijah was a prophet of fire. So it was very fitting that his representation come as fire. Brother Bram said it'll be the Holy Ghost and fire that'll take this bride home in a rapture. So it's very fitting that we have a baptism right now of the lick of fire. And fire will come to get us. Help us today, Lord Jesus. Forgive us of our faults, our failures, our mistakes. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you that when we're slothful and when we're deserving really of punishment, deserving of hell, yet your grace looks beyond all of that and reaches to the seed. And as we sing the song, you're so much, Lord, that you look beyond my fault and saw my need. And really, I think sometimes we should say it, you look beyond my fault and saw my seed. Because it wasn't just my need you saw. It was my seed. Because my need's not eternal, but my seed is. When there was no need, there was a seed. When there was no fault, there was a seed. Lord, help us today. Encourage those that are down. Heal those that are sick. Lord Jesus, I hadn't thought of that poor little old boy down there for many years. But once you brought it to my memory, Lord God, I can still think back about it. Seeing his poor little eyes, so pitiful. And then see you straighten them out. Maybe there's some here today that's spiritually cross-eyed. They got one eye on the cross, one eye on Jesus, one eye on the world. Some of the sisters, they don't want to go to hell, but yet they can't let go of the world. And this is their hair and the makeup and all that. And they're cross-eyed. Please, Jesus, would you come down like you did that poor little fellow that day? Would you heal their cross eyes, Lord God, so they can get that eye off the world and focus both of them on Calvary? Lord, if there's some of you today who's cross-eyed with all the troubles and sorrows of life, help them, Lord. May their eyes be straightened out, Lord God. Please, Jesus, minister to us today, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's just open our hearts to him, can we? Right now, whatever you have need of. Whatever you need in your walk, in your heart. Whether you're at Bethel or Jordan or wherever you are in your walk. May God minister to you today and give you strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read this quote to you. Before we close the service in second-handed row, Brother Bram says, Elijah the prophet who had the mantle of God on his shoulders, he come down and laid it across Elisha the farmer to see if it would fit him. It had taken him about 10 years to get altered to fit the mantle. You know, God usually puts us in the shop and trims us up. You see, God does it totally different than a tailor. God does it totally different than an alteration of your sister's fine dress. And you say, well, I like everything except it's a little bit tight right here. Your brother's, I need the coat taken up or the cuff is too long. And the trousers, that ain't the way God does it. God actually has the mantle already made and then God trims you. I've got one of my legs that's about an inch and a half or something like that shorter than the other one. So every time Sister Daisy used to hem my pants or Carol cuff them, every time she does it, she can't actually take one leg and go by the other because I've got one leg that's shorter than the other. Now, whichever way you want to look at it, the other one's longer than that one. What are you, pessimist or optimist? But you see, she has to take and hem that accordingly. So she has to make them fit me. But God don't do his robe that way. Now, that's what folks are trying to do, the message. They're trying to trim this out. Well, this is too rough and this is harsh and we don't need that and we don't. And so they're trying to trim the message to make it more suitable. That ain't the way God works. God pulls you in the tailor shop, removes a finger or cuts, you know, this out or, I mean, whatever he has to do. He trims us up. Notice he said he altered Elisha to fit the robe. And that's what he does today. He alters us to fit the robe. Not the robe to fit us. Sometimes we want to make the robe fit us, but we can't do that. You've got to let be altered yourself for the robe. It's God's robe and he made it perfect. And we, he brings us into that realm to make the robe fit us. So if our pride is bulging a little bit too much and makes the robe a little tight, well, God ain't going to expand the robe and sew in a little panel there to give you more room to, you know, push out, and you get the middle age bulge and we're level in the bubble in the middle, you know, and we go to all that sort of thing. God, no, God only said, hey, you got to lose that gut of yours. Slim down, boy. You got way too much pride, too much arrogance, too much self-trust. And the next time you come in and said, how am I looking? He said, oh, you're looking better. You're looking better. I can still tell it ain't going to fit, but you are looking better. I don't know where I'm at, but I know one thing. When it comes time to cross Jordan, I'm going to be slim and fit. Spiritually, I mean. Friends, I don't want to be 1 pound over. I don't want it to be where the buttons won't button. I want it to fit me. When I come to Jordan, notice Elijah, this is the last trial right here. When I come to Jordan, he's ready. The sleeves are right, collar. Everything's right. So Elijah steps over, steps into the chariot, chariot steps into him. He goes up, robe falls down. Elisha tears his garments in two. A revelation has struck him. Yes, I'm ready. He would not have went if I was not ready to wear this. Praise God. Don't you love him so much? Don't get impatient, friends. He may bring you to his shop over and over and over again and trim you, and you look at yourself and think, I am doing so good. Look at that. Look at me in the mirror. Look at me. And he comes like I said, have you been eating candy? You've been having some of them daylight donuts, ain't you? You've gained a pound. Oh, Lord, I thought I was doing so good. I thought, you ain't been praying as much, have you? Summertime comes around, you always do that. You get so busy running here and there, you quit praying as much. We don't want to be wintertime Christians because the rapture may come in the summer. So here we go. Puts us on a Weight Watchers diet. Lay aside every sin and every Weight Watchers diet. That does so easily beset you. So when it comes, your chariot will come out of heaven. And one day you're standing in the bathroom, maybe brushing your teeth or combing your hair. And all of a sudden, you look in the mirror and behind you is a younger version of you. My Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And it goes into you and you go into it. And the saucer comes to get the cup and there you go. Children, this is not a story. It's more real than us standing here in this place today. Don't you want to go with all your heart? Do you want him to trim you and shape you and do whatever he's got to do to you? Honestly mean that. You honestly mean it. Hallelujah. God bless you. I love you so much, saints. I appreciate you with all my heart. I just trust that God will help us. There won't be a one of us that'll be absent that day. Just saying, hey, look beyond my fault and so my need. Amen. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was his grace that taught me.
that bought my liberty. Oh, I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults.
I would like to ask your prayer today about something. Her sister Sharon, most of you know, had breast cancer and been having the chemotherapy treatment. She's taken her last one, Lord willing, this week on Thursday. And the doctors have told her that it probably will put her to bed for about 3 weeks. It's going to be the strongest one thus far that she's had. And her heart's already got damaged because of the treatments that they've given her. But this past week, her blood was really, really low, and they wanted her to take a shot and do this and that and other. But she asked us to pray. And she said when we was praying here in the service the other night, most of it was streaming the service down in Kentucky, she felt the Spirit of God move there where she was. She went back to the doctors and they said, what did you take to build your blood up? She said, nothing. The Lord done it. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Lord willing, she's scheduled this Thursday to take this last treatment. So I'd like for you to be remembered, if you would, in prayer. Heavenly Father, as Carol sends you today, Lord, and instead for Sharon, you see, Lord, she's having these treatments in her body. And dear God, we're thankful. We are thankful for all that man can do through medical science and research and all that. Yet, Lord Jesus, we know when they put these things in our body, it not only kills the bad cells, but it kills good ones as well. Lord, her immune system down so low that even a mosquito biting her, they said, could kill her. A cold, just a simple something, what other people could fight off, it could kill her. But Lord Jesus, we believe you bring us on this earth to serve your purpose. And there's not enough devils in all of hell to take us off this earth till your purpose is done. Lord, I pray that you just be with her this week. You see, Father, her heart situation, and Lord, this treatment, it'll be the strongest one yet. And Dear God, I'm just asking you that you'd move for her. Help her, Heavenly Father. May you just move and strengthen her body, Lord Jesus. Grant it, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Have you know, Brother Jack had to have a situation in his heart this week where they've done angioplasty and they've had to change some of his medications, kind of messed him up a little bit, and he's still real weak. We're just grateful that they was able to find it. 95% blocked on one of them, and so thank the Lord they was able to find it before heart attack. But we want to just pray that the Lord would just strengthen and help our brother today. Heavenly Father, as I close my eyes, I don't know for whatever reason, but that little blonde-headed boy comes back before me, Lord. Them little old eyes cross the pitiful. I don't know if I'll ever forget that. Tears run down my cheeks and fell on his little hands as he was standing there. These eyes have changed a lot. This hair has turned gray. My shoulders are stooped. There's one thing about it. I've changed, but you haven't. You're the same God, Lord Jesus, and we bring our brother before you today, Lord. We're thankful that they was able to find this, Lord, before it caused Brother Jack a heart attack or some major problems. I pray for strength for him today. I lay these same simple hands upon another body, but with the same commission. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In the name of Jesus, strengthen my brother, Lord God. Make him well, I pray. In Jesus' name. Anybody else that's sick and needy today, would you raise your hand? Look around standing by you. Look around, there's folks standing near you. Sick, needs in their body. I want you to take and lay your believing hands on them. Let's offer prayer for them right now. Lay your hands on them. Hallelujah. You're a believer. You don't have to be a preacher. You're a believer. You see, Father, my sister standing here today, this burden on her heart. Lord God, I ask you that you'd move. I won't mention the person, Lord God, but you know, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, may your word go to him, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Father. Lord God, we as your children have our hands laid one upon the other. Lord, they raise their hands all over this building today that they were sick and needy. May the Spirit of God, I pray, come, Lord. Move right now, dear Jesus, on the needs of your people. Oh, grant it, Lord. We believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Touch them, strengthen them, make them well, Lord God, I ask. May your healing virtue flow through this body, Lord. May your healing virtue flow through this building here today, these people. The same Spirit one day that'll change us. Hallelujah. Heal them, Lord, and make them well. Grant it, I pray, Lord God. And the church said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You love him, church. Got something on your heart? Can you sing? Let's just sing before we go. Oh, praise your Lord.
I'm amazed that you love me.
Amen.
I'm amazed,
so amazed
that you came.
Yes, Lord God.
Through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins,
I'm amazed.
Jesus.